Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, happy new year, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, the day one edition of Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, or at least until recently as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Thankfully, Blog Talk seems to be working again, folks, so let's cross our fingers that that doesn't happen again and that we're able to bring you the programming as normal. Anyway, folks, last night, WWE held their big Monday Night Raw Day 1 edition of Monday Night Raw, and we're going to be talking about that in some depth in a minute or two. But there are a few news items that we wanted to get to before we started, and the first one is that Mercedes Moné, all of a sudden, after apparently the WWE tried to sign her and she apparently couldn't come to terms with the right amount of cash for the contract, we are now hearing that AEW is going to make another bid for her. Now, look, here's the situation. Mercedes Moné can, I suppose, be a draw and a help to the women's division. But she does come with baggage. And it's not just attitude baggage. It's not just the I walked out on my job, I want everything my way or the highway attitude. She's injury prone. She sometimes appears lethargic and not really overly concerned if she looks good or her opponent looks good in a match, depending on what the match is. And in general, I think this is probably not the type of person AEW wants to sign. Will it bring, I don't know, some sort of boost to the division, the female division, I guess. But it's going to be temporary. And if you're going to give people kind of money, then you're going to get other people. It's a snowball effect. This is what I've been saying. If you're going to give Mercedes Moné all this type of money, it's going to be very hard to justify not giving some other people who worked twice as hard that same money. And Tony Khan's payroll is already through the roof. They're already losing $34 million this year, or last year, I should have said. Lost $24 million last year. You're on the verge of what? Shooting for losing how much more? So I don't know if it's the smartest move. Tony Khan has to learn one valuable lesson. Just because someone comes from the WWE and has left it doesn't mean you have to sign them. If you sign someone, you should have major plans, a major goal, and something planned that would obviously utilize them to the best of your ability and their ability, making them marketable and causing you to make money off of them. If you don't have a plan that's going to do that, then just handing them free cash to say, yeah, you know, that's going to be a big announcement and it'll be great for 2 weeks and then fade into the sunset, that's not a good business strategy. Now, the WWE, they had those plans. Obviously, Bayley is on the verge of turning face. Damage Control is on the verge of turning against her. It would have been interesting to see her old friend, Sasha Banks, back by her side. Certainly, there would have been plans there, major plans that probably would have included Sasha Banks and Bayley versus Asuka and Kairi Sane, which would have been a barn burner, right? I don't know what the AEW's plans are. I would suggest it's probably just Tony Khan coming out on an episode and saying, we have a big announcement. Next week, you're going to see one of the top superstars in the world of professional wrestling in a female division. Yeah, we know. You've done this too many times. So I don't know, Mike. I don't know if this is going to be the right thing. I think Tony Khan has bigger fish to fry than to sign someone to a huge contract that I'm not sure is really going to help them financially in the long run.
No. No.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. I mean, he has to learn this axiom. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Right? Just because he can do it doesn't mean he should do it. I mean, I'm not saying she's as much of a cancer in the locker room as, say, CM Punk was. But, I mean, she did get Naomi Trinity Star to follow her full-heartedly follow her out the door. So in that respect, she can be a cancer. And look, you've got a pretty good women's division there. You know, you've got X, Y, Z, A, B, C, you know, and you really don't need her.
Yeah, see, I'm worried about it only because when you got someone like Britt Baker saying, look, there doesn't seem to be time on these shows, and you've got three of them, there doesn't seem to be time to give me any promo time, give me time to sell my match. What's adding Sasha Banks to the mix going to do, give her less time? So now you're going to have females on the roster saying, okay, well, there goes our time. Because Sasha's going to eat it all up. Mercedes Moné's going to eat it all up. I don't know. You know, you can look at it two ways. The first way is she's a big name. Tony Khan signs her. It's a big deal, I guess. But does it stay a big deal and for how long? It was a big deal when they signed Edge. It's not a big deal anymore. It was a big deal when they signed Aleister Black. It's not a big deal anymore. It's a big deal when CM Punk came back. It wasn't a big deal after a couple of weeks. It was a big deal when Bryan Danielson came down there. This is the modus operandi of AEW, whereas it is a big deal for a few weeks or a month, and then it's not. Then it's not. So I don't know. I do know, Todd, that for her benefit, if we're looking at it from her point of view, in my opinion, other than financially maybe it would be better off for her to be in AEW, I think her career is better off in WWE.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is like a suicide, desperate thing with AEW. And like you said, this is back in the 90s when Bischoff was running WCW, was bringing guys in every week, big names, and they were big for like about a couple months, and next thing you know, you don't hear them that much anymore as well.
And they stopped making money because it was just the payroll was way too high. Second thing we want to talk about is a very unfortunate situation in which Raquel Rodriguez apparently has been diagnosed with mast cell activation syndrome. And that's why you haven't seen her on television in a while. Now, let me clear one thing up, because a lot of people wrote and said, oh, you know, she has, you know, 8 years to live at max, 8-9 years. That's what they give you. No. You've got them confused. Mast cell activation syndrome is not mastocytosis. Sometimes it leads to mastocytosis, but mastocytosis is rare. And mastocytosis is where, like, extra mast cells gather in, like, your organs, like your liver or in your skin or your spleen or something. And it causes mast cells to make more of themselves. That's not what this is. Mast cell activation syndrome, it doesn't cause extra cells to gather in your organs. It just happens when mast cells are released. They release too many chemicals, and it causes like allergy symptoms. It can cause you to be short of breath, can cause like you to break out in blotches like allergies would. It's not fun, but it's not life-threatening. So let's get that straight first. But she didn't want to appear on camera, and obviously the WWE wouldn't want her to appear on camera if she's swollen and blotchy and she's not really able to breathe normally, and that's not good if you're going to do severe physical activity. So they're getting that under control, but it's not life-threatening. So for the people who are writing that, this is a life-threatening situation, it's not. You're confusing the two. Thankfully, you're confusing the two. It's not mastocytosis, mast cell activation syndrome. Still, you know, it's a shame. It looked like they were certainly giving her some sort of a push, and this is going to set it back a little, Mike. I don't know how long it takes to recover from this. She said her doctors are working to get her healthy again, but, you know, sometimes this could take a little bit, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. And look, you're right. You know, you don't want her big deal, Raquel Rodriguez's big deal is that, you know, she'll come out and she'll pose and do all that stuff. You know, she's showing her power, right? You know, and yeah. All that stuff. Well, and she, I won't say you know, skimpy clothing or whatever, but you don't want a blotchy person who's supposed to have clear skin, whose muscles are supposed to pop when she poses, right? That's what she's supposed to be. So it's a good idea to keep her off the thing. As far as Mercedes Moné, I want to look at this one more time from her perspective. We've already spoken that there's a good chance that this could be, this is a big year for AEW, and if things don't go right, they could fold, right? So what happens if they come back to Mercedes Moné and say, yeah, we'll give you the money, but we'll give you a five-year deal? How is she going to be positive that they're going to be here in 5 years to pay off on that deal?
She can't be, although legally they'd still have to pay her, I guess, or make some kind of settlement with her. It would be a mess. There's no question about that. It would be a mess. Anyway, let's get to day one, because this was an unusual night of Raw. We started out with Nia Jax taking on Becky Lynch. And I got to tell you that I'm thinking to myself, well, I see a no conclusion here, or I see a disqualification, or I see a situation where somebody comes down and something's up. I did not see Becky Lynch losing clean. I did not see that coming. And I'm not sure it's the right move. I'm not really sure it's the right move. If your goal is to try to get Nia Jax over as, my God, she could beat anyone, including the great Becky Lynch, how is Rhea Ripley ever going to deal with her? I still say, how are you going to deal with the fact that Rhea Ripley is a heel? Are you going to flip her? Well, you might have seen the beginnings of this. She didn't come out with Dominic. She didn't come out with Damian Priest. I don't know. I know it's a confusing mess. And I wouldn't put my eggs in the basket of Nia Jax. She put on a decent match last night. Not a great match, but a decent match. And I'm not sure her and Rhea Ripley will be any better than that. Because fans can say what they want. Rhea Ripley's extraordinarily popular. And deservedly so. She's done a remarkable job of getting her character over. She is not Becky Lynch in the ring. I don't care if people say, oh, no, she's fantastic. She's good. She's not Becky Lynch in the ring. She's not someone who can carry you, as she proved last night. And you're going to have to carry Nia Jax. Becky Lynch did. So I don't know if that match is going to be great. Becky Lynch losing clean surprised the hell out of me. Becky Lynch's contract is coming up too, so I don't... I don't know what to think of this. All I know is, obviously, you have a huge plan for Nia Jax. And the only plan I can see is her winning the Women's Royal Rumble and challenging Rhea Ripley. It's the only one I can see. Why would she challenge Io Sky? That would not be good. I guess they figure if you get by Becky Lynch, it's going to look like, well, if she can pin Becky Lynch clean, she certainly can handle Rhea Ripley, and Rhea Ripley's main strength is her power, and she's not going to overpower Nia Jax, so that's going to make Rhea Ripley the underdog for the very first time. Yeah, it's also going to make her a face. So they better prepare for that, Mike, because if that's what their plans are, then you might as well start taking the edge off Rhea right now.
Yeah, and you take the edge off of Rhea, get away from Dominic. Of course, we know at some point they're going to probably try and flip Dominic, but that's neither here nor there. And we know that they're going to pull back on the Judgment Day. We at least we have a good feeling with that. So that was a good idea not to have her come out with those guys. So, yeah. And as far as they don't know, I'm going to go ahead and assume that within the next month, 2 months or whatever, Becky Lynch is going to resign. Unless she wants to go and spend some more time with her baby, you know, she just had a baby. Unless she wants to do that, she's going to resign. So this whole thing about her losing doesn't mean much because, this match was all about what happened, year and a half ago when she punched her in the face, right? That's what this match was about. Yeah. Now, that the ending was, I guess you might want to say it was a good ending because, you know, that type of ending where she eventually gets over on her you want to save that for a pay-per-view. All right, Becky Lynch wins against her. Jax, you want that on a pay-per-view. You don't want it on a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I don't know. I guess they thought of this as sort of like a little mini pay-per-view, but wow. I was a little surprised by the ending of this match, Todd. And if they got plans to put Nia Jax against Rhea Ripley, then certainly that plan has to include flipping Rhea Ripley face.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, this match last night with Becky Lynch and Nia Jax there, you know, it's kind of shocking there when Becky Lynch gets pinned clean, and especially on a Monday Night Raw. If I was the booker, I would probably have like Becky Lynch lose by a countout or disqualification, not to make her weak that much.
I definitely thought they were going to stretch it out a little more, but okay, we'll see what happens. We'll see if it's worth it. We then get one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen with Cody Rhodes coming out for his match with Shinsuke Nakamura, only to find out, hey, you know, I got to have a match with Shinsuke Nakamura. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know why that is. I don't know whether there were travel issues. I don't know what the hell's going on. I do know you shouldn't advertise something you do not deliver. Never was a fan of that. I'm still not a fan of it. I haven't heard anything about Nakamura having any travel issues or any issues one way or the other or not feeling well or whatever it happened to be, so I don't know what the hell happened. All I know is you have 3 hours to fill, and you had, you know, 5 or 6 matches with not really much in between, so I don't know what to tell you. It was weird. We then get Kofi Kingston and Jey Uso against Imperium, and probably, I don't know, 5 minutes into it, Giovanni Vinci takes a drop kick from Kofi Kingston, falls backwards on the mat, and instantaneously a real doctor is in the ring. Cut it. It appears like there was footage cut, even though it was live. It's on a certain delay. And then there's a doctor in the ring, and he stops the match. Literally stops the match. So I rewatched it because I wanted to see if Kofi really nailed him. I don't think he did. I don't think Kofi nailed him. I think when he threw his head back to land on the mat, it was like a whiplash type thing, and he really, like, hit his head hard. And I think that maybe it had something to do with them thinking possible concussion or something. But, I mean, after just canceling the Cody Rhodes Nakamura match, Mike, and then this match falls.
They're not off to a great start, and that's the thing. And, I mean, I get it. When something like that happens, they're being overprotective with that stuff. And basically, I think Wade Barrett said the same thing. They're kind of, in not so many words, but basically they're being overprotective with this. If it even appears like you're going to have a concussion, they're going to do something like that, right? So
yes,
there was the appearance of a concussion there. So what do you expect them to do? I agree with you. It was a short match, you know. It was like a no match, but what could they do? They want to follow their own rules, and their rules say even if there's a inference of a concussion, you stop the match.
Yeah, the only other thing I could say is, could you not have just said, well, okay, Ludwig Kaiser is going to go on by himself, pick one of the two people, and finish the match? And it'll be a singles match. At least give the crowd something. But they didn't, so it is what it is. Todd, I don't know if you watched it over. I don't think this was Kofi's fault. I watched it very carefully, and I think it was Giovanni throwing himself backwards more than the impact of the kick that caused the issue.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this was an accidental thing, and like you said, by the looks of it, Kofi didn't really kick him or anything in the match when I watched it. And like you said, it looked like it was a scary situation there when Giovanni fell back legitimately with a concussion. That's a scary sight.
Yeah. Now, luckily, I don't think he has one because he tweeted that he's fine. So I guess he's fine. I guess they just erred on the side of caution. The one thing that I thought was interesting about this is trying to get Kofi and Jay to look like they don't really care. And if he got injured, good for him, when you can see they're literally shitting their pants. They're literally like, oh, shit. Damn. You know, you could see they were both very worried. And they're supposed to not be worried. Listen, this actually happened to me. I was actually in a wrestling ring with someone who got injured enough they had to stop the match instantaneously, not really because of anything we did. It was just one of those fluke things where trying an Oklahoma roll and all the weight came down on the guy's neck and he became temporarily like paralyzed. It was a stinger. It's called a stinger. And I didn't know what the hell to do either. I mean, I'm supposed to look like I don't care. I'm like, oh, my God, you know. And it's one of the hardest things you have to do because you're like, I have no idea how badly this person's hurt. I have no idea at this moment whether it's my fault, it's his fault, it's nobody's fault. So you're all just like, what do we do? It's a very, very tense situation, trust me. So those guys did the best they could, and I guess maybe that's why they didn't want to do a one-on-one, because they just said these guys are now out of their game. They're worried. They don't want to wrestle. Probably is what it ends up being. Same thing probably with Kaiser. So maybe it was the best move. But again, not off to a great start. You've canceled one match, and then you've stopped short on this one. So we then get another weird segment where The Miz comes out and says his guests are going to be the Judgment Day. And all it really is R-Truth, who comes out and basically says, well, you know, people are hating on the Judgment Day. I'm going to try to get people to like the Judgment Day a little bit more. That brings out Dominic and J.D. McDonagh to shoot their mouths off with no Damian Priest, who was there, with no Rhea Ripley, who was there. And this leads, of course, to a tag team match, which is kind of the reunification of Awesome Truth, right? And they beat Dominik and J.D. McDonagh. I don't know. I don't see how this gimmick of R-Truth is working at this point, because he literally is trying to tag Dominik Mysterio. It really was just a joke match where he doesn't even know whose team he's on. You can't be that dumb. You know your partner's The Miz, so I don't know why you're tagging Dominik. The comedy didn't work, because you would have to be... See, the thing about R-Truth is he's supposed to be eccentric and a little bit weird. But you'd have to just be plain stupid to not understand that your partner's The Miz when you agreed to the match. So that's why the comedy really didn't work for me. R-Truth still looks good in the ring for his age. Remarkable, really. The Miz is clearly trying to get over still as a face. It's somewhat working. It was an okay match, Mike, but it just felt like a very plain, normal, everyday match. And to be honest, Dominik Mysterio and JD McDonagh have been not doing well. As The Miz said, he's been jobbing to CM Punk all over the place. Dominik has. And McDonagh, I don't know if he's won a match since he's been here. These guys are not exactly holding up their end of Judgment Day as being a top faction.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And Dominik's thing started when they had him lose the title, but that's, we can argue about that at another time. And as far as, Rhea, and where was Finn? Where's Finn Balor? Was he there? I guess he was there. I don't know.
I don't think so.
And that's the thing. And look, as far, he's a comedy guy, but again, this is a guy at his age. He's in his 50s, right?
Yep.
It's R-Truth. He's in his 50s, but he can still get the job done in the ring. R-Truth is another guy like The Miz, who one should be in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, and two, when he does decide to hang him up, he's gonna be missed, just like The Miz.
Yeah, he really will be, because he is a multifaceted. People just say, "Well, R-Truth is comedy." Well, yeah, because that's all you're giving him. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, R-Truth is still good enough in the ring that if you wanted to cut the comedy and just say we're giving him a run as a serious competitor, he'd probably do fine. He'd probably be fine. He's multifaceted in that way. If you want him to just do comedy, he can do the comedy very well. If you want him to just do skits where he's, airheaded and confused, he's great at it. If you want to use him as a sympathetic babyface who gets beaten up by the, horrible heels, heat for them, he's good at that. He is a multifaceted worker. He's a tool you can use in several different ways, and it all works fine. You don't have a lot of wrestlers like that, really. So, yeah, he is going to be missed, because you can use him in almost any situation. And another great thing about R-Truth is this. R-Truth is one of those guys that if you have to fill in somebody, if you say, oh, man, so-and-so got sick, or so-and-so didn't make it, we can get R-Truth to go down and do the match. The crowd's not that disappointed, because they like R-Truth. So, R-Truth's going to take his place. That'll be fun. He's very useful. He's a useful guy backstage and in the ring both. So, having said that, however, I don't know what you're going to do with, Dominik and JD. They both seem to be on major losing streaks. That's not boding well for Judgment Day. We'll talk a little bit later about the Damian Priest and the Money in the Bank thing. But really, the only person that seems to be in any way, shape, or form holding up the Judgment Day's validity that they're a top team is Rhea Ripley, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, about Rhea Ripley and everything. By the looks of it, she's more like acting more like a leader of the Judgment Day and being more on camera more than the others, basically anymore. For the last couple
and
of weeks.
And winning all the time on a consistent basis. She's not somebody who drops matches. So that helps. So we then get to Rhea Ripley, who did not come out to be in Dominic and J.D. McDonough's corner, I guess because she had a title defense coming up against Ivy Nile, but then that contradicts what the announcers were saying when they're saying, well, took Ivy Nile very lightly. Well, not that lightly, obviously, if she didn't come out with Dominic and JD. I have a problem with this match. I'm just going to flat out say it. Ivy Nile did not look ready. I don't know what happened because she literally was fine in NXT. I don't know whether it's the tremendous size difference, which it shouldn't have been because she's always smaller than most everybody she fights. But there was a couple of times there where there were some major botches where she couldn't get her cinched. The suplexes looked weak that she was giving her. There was a couple of spots where she looked confused about what is it that we're supposed to do next. The crowd was not on her side at all. There was a few chants of let's go Ivy, but then it was just drowned out by let's go Rhea. I don't know. They say, well, this was a career-defining match for Ivy Nile. I don't know if it was. In the sense that you allowed Ivy Nile enough offense to make it look like she is a real threat to Rhea Ripley, I guess. But as far as fans judging how good was she actually in the ring, how good did she perform, I don't think so. I don't think so. My pet peeve was on full display last night, and that is taking too long and not making it look like you're fighting. There's Ivy Nile looking like she's setting up for every single move rather than it's a flow because I'm in the middle of a fight. I hate when the male wrestlers do it. I hate when the female wrestlers do it. Just make it look like you're fighting, not like you're setting things up. Okay, I'm ready. Here I go. One, two, next move. Okay. Here I go now. It makes it look like you're practicing the match instead of doing the match, and it's frustrating as hell. Now, there were parts that flowed better, but there were parts that were just downright, I don't know, some of those suplexes didn't look like that they would hurt an infant baby. And here's Ivy Nile, who's, you know, supposed to be the pit bull of the WWE, and she has legit MMA cred and stuff, and she's throwing suplexes that looks basically like you're just laying her down. I don't know. And Rhea Ripley, to her credit, sold them, but to be honest, maybe shouldn't have. Because they didn't look like they hurt. That's the problem. You know, one of the things we always said in the federation I worked for was, if you know for sure you botched it, and that move did not look like it would hurt, please don't sell it if you're the opponent. Tell that it was a botch and that it didn't hurt because it didn't get it right. Oh, you didn't get me completely with a drop kick? Then don't fall down. Stumble backwards an inch or two like, well, he barely got me, but it wasn't enough to knock me down. Because if the fans clearly see you miss a drop kick by just barely touching him with your toes and you jump up and flip yourself over the ropes backwards and land on the ground like a mule just kicked you, you both look stupid. As opposed to calling an audible and saying, I know that's what I was supposed to do. I'm going to sell it like you missed me. Or I know that suplex was supposed to get more height. And I know it was supposed to look like it broke me in half. But unfortunately, that was weak. And I'm not going to oversell it. Hell, there were times when Ivy Nile grabbed her and literally was like, ready, one, two. It's like, Jesus, just suplex her. You're basically counting it. I just didn't like the way it looked. I was fully prepared to throw myself behind Ivy Nile as someone who's really going to make a big splash in WWE, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe they just put her in tough and it just didn't work out. Give her the benefit of the doubt. But I did not like this match, Mike, and I don't think it did Ivy Nile any favors.
Right. And frankly, you know, we've been doing a lot of this stuff with between those three and Chad Gable and the other two, and, you know, their friends and all that stuff. I think, you know, Maxine Dupri looks better in the ring, you know, than Ivy Nile has. And look, I like Ivy Nile. Don't get me wrong, I like her. I mean, but the last two younger athletes that they put against Rhea Ripley, Ivy Nile and Zoe Stark, didn't look well at all.
You're right. And let me tell you something, and I know this is going to be very controversial. What do they have in common? Their opponent. So now I'm questioning, is Rhea Ripley not making some opponents look good? Is there? She's selling. We can clearly see she's selling. But some of her opponents seem to have trouble with, like, well, I'm trying to suplex you, and it's hard. It shouldn't be hard. She's not Andre the Giant. She's still relatively small, even though she's bigger than them. It almost looks like there's a lack of cooperation or lack of game, but something's not right. Something's not right. Now, to her credit, seen her wrestle Charlotte Flair. It didn't look like that. I've seen her wrestle Becky Lynch. It did not look like that. I've seen her wrestle several people. It didn't look like that. But it did both. You're absolutely right. It looked like that with both of these other girls. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. You know, not a great match in my opinion. And, you know, didn't really live up to its hype because here they are saying, well, there's no way in hell Ivy Nile will ever win. And they were right. There was no way in hell she won, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this match last night with Ivy Niles and Rhea Ripley didn't do me any favors either. Like you said, this is one of those sloppy botch matches. Like, I don't. She's not ready. She's not ready to be.
Yeah, it was definitely sloppy. Listen, if I'm booking this match, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm doing. I'm having Rhea Ripley come out there and within the first 2 or 3 minutes get totally dominated, even strength-wise, by Ivy Nile, to the point where Rhea Ripley's like, what the actual F is going on here? Then act like you're getting annoyed and slightly panicky, and Ivy Nile's taking control of the match. And then just have Rhea walk the hell out and say, I don't know what the hell's going on here tonight, but screw this. Set up a rematch where Rhea can literally say, okay, I guess I took her too lightly. I don't know where the hell she came from, but obviously you came here to play. So, fine, I was not ready. After the match with Maxine Dupri, I just figured I had another walk in the park. I can see you're a little bit different. That's fine. Next time I'll be prepared, and you'll see a different me. Wasn't my night. I did what any smart person would do. I walked away. Because then you would have gotten Ivy Nile over as, my God, she manhandled Rhea Ripley. But I don't think they wanted to do that because I truly think they're setting her up for Nia Jax, which just boggles me. I don't know how you're doing that. And I don't know why you would do it, but that's what I think. Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark defeated Tegan Nox and Natalya. We had an awful segment with the tag team champions in some kind of a club, and Piper Niven and Chelsea Green came in, and oh, God, it was just, if you're going to make your champions, faces, mind you, faces, be two party girls who really don't care about anything except let me dance and drink and be in a club, even though we've won the titles. Yeah, that's a really great representation. That's fantastic. That's what you want. I don't know. The problem with those two is they don't have a personality. If they do have a personality, it sure as hell isn't showing. And just we're two party girls is actually annoying. It's more annoying than Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. At least they look serious. These two girls couldn't care less. Yeah, we won, let's party. We lost, let's party. Oh, so that's what you want to make of them, right? Just two airheaded party girls. Okay. I think that's ridiculous. Anyway, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark won, like I said. We then get The Rock. First, we get Jinder Mahal, who I thought was working on a new gimmick. Thought he was working on a gimmick where he was going to be sort of like this ideological heel who claims to be a unifier, but really is whatever. He spoke badly about the country. He made the fans boo the national anthem by doing it in Arabic and said, that's your prejudice showing. You just booed your own national anthem because I spoke it in Arabic. I was kind of into it a little bit because I'm saying, okay, if you want to do something with Jinder Mahal, that would be great because we have not seen him in forever except managing whatever they called them, and that was a disaster. But then out comes The Rock, which I knew The Rock was coming out. I knew The Rock was coming out. And I guess The Rock has permission to swear on television because every other word was asshole, son of a bitch, douchebag. He said it all. And he was funny. But none of that really mattered. What mattered was at the end. When he said, now that I've kicked some ass, now that I've whooped some ass, I've worked up an appetite, I'm going out to eat. And I need to know from the WWE Universe, should I sit in a booth when I'm eating? Or maybe I should sit at the bar because I like the bar. Or maybe I should sit at the head of the table. WWE would never have allowed him to say that unless there is going to be a match. So now we know for sure there is going to be The Rock versus Roman Reigns. I still don't know if it's WrestleMania, though. There is a good chance they'll hold this at the Elimination Chamber in Australia instead. If that was the case, then what would happen is The Rock would lose, and that would be Roman Reigns' biggest victory, and then he'd obviously have to probably face Cody Rhodes, who wins the Royal Rumble. That would be my opinion. Or if Cody doesn't win the Royal Rumble and CM Punk does, CM Punk challenges Seth Rollins, not Roman Reigns, and Cody Rhodes would still get Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. If they're going to do this at WrestleMania, I think it's a mistake. Not because The Rock's not popular, because he really can't win unless he loses it the next night, and it doesn't make any sense. He's not going to stay around. He did five moves with Jinder Mahal, and he was out of breath. Did you notice? When he grabbed that microphone, after doing 40 seconds with Jinder Mahal, he was out of breath. He's not in the cardio shape he was. You're not going to tell me in this length of time, it's January now, we're talking about March, right, or early April, you're not going to tell me he's getting in that kind of shape in a couple of months, cardio-wise. So I hope it's not WrestleMania, Mike, but now I think we know for sure there is going to be a Roman Reigns Rock match.
Yeah, we know for sure. Hopefully. And plus, they don't, I mean, what does he have on his schedule besides this? You know, is in the next month or so, is he going to be starting another movie or TV show or whatever? I mean, I know probably the Young Rock thing is still a thing, probably, but what's he going to do? And you look at him, and when he came out there and he was shaking, he's not as hard as he wants to be. Because when he shook his arms continued to shake. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, listen, The Rock is not in ring shape. The Rock looks phenomenal. Obviously looks phenomenal. But there's a very big difference. You know, the first person to really mention this was Scott Levy, Raven. And he said, you know, there is a huge difference between being in shape and being in ring shape. You could be in really good shape. You could be in the, you know, perfect shape. And if you were away from the ring for a few months or 6 months, you're not in ring shape. And you go in there and you're like, whoa, I'm just sort of off balance. I'm not, things are just not right. And he said, it takes a little while. It's not like you can just walk in there and say, well, I'm in good shape. I jogged a few miles a day. I've been, eating right. I've been hitting the gym. It doesn't matter. You're in great shape for a person, but you're not in ring shape. And he's absolutely correct. And last night we saw The Rock can do his routine, but that's not a full match. That's just The Rock doing a routine. I'll throw a few punches. I'll hit a, rock bottom, or I'll hit a people's elbow. That's not good enough for a Roman Reigns match. It's just not going to be. So I hope they know what they're doing, Todd, but apparently there is going to be a Rock-Roman Reigns match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is how the Rock is trying to make money, to make extra money. This is why they're doing this. No doubt about it.
Well, I don't know if it's about the money. I think it's mostly probably about just promotion and probably wanting to further cement Roman Reigns' legacy. Because he's almost got to lose. So, I mean, if I were planning this and you say, well, how are you going to have The Rock lose? Well, I don't know. I guess I'd have, like, Solo Sikoa interfere. The Rock loses, and then on, the subsequent Monday night, The Rock beats the F out of Solo Sikoa, drops the old rock bottom, 1, 2, 3, and leaves. That's it. Okay, he got his revenge. He should have beat Roman, but Solo interfered, and off goes The Rock. Okay. But that's such a patented, obvious wrestling 101 thing that it's almost not worth watching because you already know what's going to happen. I hate when that happens. I really do. So I hope they do it in the Elimination Chamber, because then it doesn't really matter all that much. And it will be a much better setup. So let's hope that's what they got in mind. Anyway, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. My head is kind of spinning from this, because here's another situation where, for whatever reason, these two guys who gel constantly, these guys always have gelled. And they've been on tour fighting each other in Madison Square Garden, fighting each other here and there, really warming up for this match. And there was a few botches. I don't know how you botch when you every single friggin' night you're fighting each other, same match, basically. But anyway, most of the match was solid. Once again, Judgment Day, here comes Damian Priest. He's going to cash in. I don't know what it takes, an edict from the President of the United States to cash in, because 5 or 6 times I've seen them hand the referee the briefcase only to be told, well, he didn't cash in yet. It wasn't official. What makes it official? If you hand the referee the briefcase, or you hand the announcer the briefcase or whatever, it's official, no? Just because the ring announcer doesn't say it. So I don't know. I don't know what that is. But anyway, when Drew McIntyre realized he was joined by the Judgment Day, he went out and beat the hell out of them. Got a pop for suplexing Dominic and giving the Claymore kick to Damian Priest. Then he rolls back in the ring, and Seth Rollins takes advantage of the distraction, and Seth Rollins retains. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure what you're doing with Drew McIntyre. I mean, if you wanted to make him a full-fledged heel, you're not doing it very well. Because having the Judgment Day come out and him take him out is face move. I would argue that having Seth Rollins take advantage of the fact that the Judgment Day distracted him is more of a heel move than anything that was done by Drew McIntyre. So that's weird. Very weird. I guess this is going to be the thing that pushes him over the edge. I guess. But I don't know. I mean, where does he go from here? Even the announcers are like, well, if he loses, I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know where he goes from here either. What's next for Drew McIntyre? I have no idea. So, all in all, I don't know, man. I was so looking forward to last night's show because I said, really, in reality, this is a little mini pay-per-view. Right? A little mini pay-per-view. Something big is going to happen. You got a former WWE champion there, so something big is going to happen. I guess you could say The Rock thinks and at the head of the table might be big, but nothing physically big happened. I thought we were going to have some kind of a big plan for Becky Lynch and Nia Jax to really have a blood feud. I guess not. Shinsuke Nakamura didn't show at all. Giovanni Vinci got hurt, so we didn't really see any kind of a conclusion to that match, which was worth anything. I don't know. Ivy Nile, this was the spot. The more the announcer said, Ivy Nile's going to get massacred. Ivy Nile is in there way over her head. Ivy Nile is tough, but she's not this tough. The more I said, she's beating Rhea Ripley. She may not beat her 1-2-3. She may beat her by count out, disqualification, something, but she's beaten Rhea Ripley because what they're going to do is they're going to say, can you believe Ivy Nile surprised Rhea Ripley to that extent? They didn't even do that. So you can say, well, she came close to beating her. She's a worthy opponent. Do you want to see him wrestle again? See, that's the big litmus test. Do you want to see them wrestle again? The answer is probably no, you don't. Now, if you'd have done it my way, by which Ivy Nile went in there and dominated the first few minutes of it, and Rhea Ripley is literally in shock, panics, and really tries to, like, finish her off quick, and instead she's getting her ass handed to her and says, that's it for me. I don't know who the hell this girl is, but I'm out of here tonight. You'd have wanted to see him fight again. The argument to my argument is, well, they didn't want to make Rhea Ripley look weak because she's going to take on Nia Jax. That's probably the truth. But I think that's dumb. You're the one who made Rhea Ripley a heel. You're not acting like she's a face even now. If you were slowly starting to turn her face, I could see her putting up a good fight with Ivy Nile, but winning. Maybe even shaking Ivy Nile's hand afterwards and saying, I didn't expect that from you. You're much better than I thought. But they didn't. She's clearly a heel. And so is Nia Jax. I don't see how this is going to be anything great. The fans are going to side with Rhea Ripley, and that's it. And we get Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, and was there a soul on earth who thought Drew McIntyre was winning the title? No. So no titles changed hands. Nothing of any real consequence happened other than The Rock showed up and teased he is going to fight Roman Reigns. That's it. That's what happened on day one. I don't think it's a great day one. If this was my first show and I'm saying, oh, this is going to set the stage for the year, I'm popping Advil backstage because my head's pounding. Because it was sort of a fizzle. And there's nothing on here that should have been a fizzle. Nothing. So I have to tell you, folks, I'm giving this a C minus. I just think it was a little below average. And for the hype and the matches that were announced, I was fully prepared to see an A show. A minus, A, maybe a B plus at worst. And it wasn't. It just wasn't. Not a great start to the year, Mike. It's not a disaster, C minus, but it's not exactly how you want to start out the year.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, look, here's the deal with the whole Rhea Ripley, Ivy Nile thing. You look at Ivy Nile, she's built like a freaking brick house, right? She's a fire plug. She's built like a brick house, and she should have been able. The first few minutes of that match should have been her throwing Rhea Ripley all around the ring. That's what that should have been. Suplexes, body slams, whatever. Even you throw Irish whipping Rhea Ripley so hard into the you know, into the turnbuckle that she rebounds and falls on her face. That's what this should have been the first few minutes of this match. Then you have Rhea Ripley roll out the ring and have that look on her face like, what have I gotten myself into? You know, because if you look, you look at Ivy Nile, you look at her, when you look at her, what does that body tell you?
No, you're right. And listen, if the counter argument is, well, we don't want to make Ivy Nile look stronger than Rhea Ripley because she's going to have to go up against Nia Jax, who obviously is more imposing. Okay, then don't have her literally throw her around, but have her totally out-wrestle her. Have her do like her MMA stuff where she's doing the low kicks to the leg. She's putting her in holds. Every time Rhea Ripley tries to do something, she ends up on the mat in some kind of a hold where Rhea Ripley's just barely escaping, barely getting to the ropes, holding her body part that just got hurt. Like, what the hell is going on? Who the hell is this girl? The idea behind this match should have been Rhea Ripley selling Ivy Nile to the point where Rhea Ripley said, I'm not wrestling her tonight. Because I didn't know this was the case. I didn't know this was who she is. I thought she was some manager for a tag team that was hanging around Maxine Dupri. I don't realize she's some kind of a whatever. And now I'm in there with her, and she's putting me in every hold in the world, and I didn't prepare for this. So I'm out. I'll rematch her. Now that I know who she is and what she's about, I'll rematch her. But I wasn't ready tonight. That sells Ivy Nile. This did not sell Ivy Nile, Mike. As a matter of fact, it kind of just took her out of the contention.
Right. It just kind of took her out of the contention, and that's the thing. I mean, look, I've said it before. I mean, yeah, she's only Maxine Dupri's only had a few matches, but she's in more of a contention for the title than Ivy Nile is. And she's only had a few matches, and she's still green as grass, right? Is Maxine Dupri. And we haven't seen
her. Yeah, I mean,
much,
she looks kind of ugly to Rhea, but still, I don't know. It just didn't do what it should have done for Ivy Nile. And none of these matches really did much for anybody. That's why I gave it the C-. What's your grade this week?
Same thing as the C-. And if they pull something out of their ass on Friday night, that show ends up being an A-plus or damn near it, something's got to be wrong.
I agree. I mean, I hope they put on a better show, but it's just had a lot of bad luck with injury and then no showing, and there's just a lot of weird stuff last night, Todd. What's your rating?
I'm going to give it a C- as well.
Yeah, it really didn't live up to the hype. I hate to say it, but it didn't. One good thing, however, is we got our panel back here. I can actually talk to you guys. It was driving me crazy to have to do this thing just on chat and stuff like that. So thankfully, Blog Talk is back. On Sunday, we will do our Rating the Wrestler shows. I'm looking forward to that. Have a happy, I was able to finally say Happy New Year, so I guess I'll do it. Happy New Year, guys, and we'll see you again on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.